that's what we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. And tonight was when he was preparing for that and trying to convey what was happening once again to his disciples. And of course, they weren't completely fathoming it. Although he had raised a number of people from the dead, they didn't have a concept of exactly what he came here to do. They were still thinking of riding in victorious and, you know, leading us out of bondage from Rome and all that jazz. And we'll actually touch a little bit on that. How many people here, I just feel in my heart I'm supposed to share a little bit about Todd's story because it's redemption. I think most of you guys know Todd White, but there's a handful of some new faces. How many people have never heard Todd White's story? You've never heard it. You've never heard it. You've never heard it. You guys never heard Todd White? Man, you could. Wow. Okay, you've never heard it. I'm going to share a little bit. I met Todd 5 years ago in like 2 weeks. I met him the day after he was baptized. Todd was in his early 30s, and he was a drug addict atheist his whole life. He was raised in a Masonic home because his parents just couldn't get control of him. He was pretty much out of control. And finally decided the Marine Corps was a good call. So he went into the Marine Corps, and after three stints in the brig, and the last one was for AWOL, they gave him a dishonorable discharge and sent him back. And he was arrested twice for drug stuff, crack cocaine, I believe it was. And his life was basically a train wreck. He was living with his girlfriend of 9 years, Jackie. He had a 7-year-old daughter out of wedlock. You know, his life was just not going the way people would like their lives to go. And he had gotten to a point, keep in mind he's an atheist, he knows, he's looking at it, he's hurting everybody. Every time he comes home stoned, his 7-year-old daughter, who he's promised the last time he's never going to do it again, she goes up to him, "Daddy, you promised." That's pretty serious stuff. So he got to a point where he knew he was a waste. He knew he was hurting everybody around him, and he was just going to end it all. And he knew his girlfriend's father had a 12-gauge shotgun, and that generally gets the job done. But he has a second thought. It was a good thought. It was, what if there's a God? Even though he was an atheist his whole life. It's like, you know, when you're thinking about doing yourself in, then you think, could that be worse than this? That's a good question to ask. The answer is yes. Okay? But he was contemplating a few things, and he decided to just send up one of those foxhole prayers, for lack of a better word. God, if you really exist, I need help. He opened a phone book, because the guy was ADD, ADHD, dyslexic, never read a book in his life, literally. He went to the phone book. There's 583 churches in your county. God, I need help. Puts a check mark next to one. Happened to be your Christian Fellowship. He went there and he met an assistant pastor there by the name of Dan Moeller. And what he saw? Yeah. Oh, you think God had a plan on that one? Anybody want to, you know, maybe pick somebody else that he could have gone to that would have been better? I don't know of any. So he got to meet Dan Moeller. He got to meet a believing believer that was filled with the love of Jesus. And he saw people through God's eyes. And he didn't see a train wreck. He saw a great testimony. He saw somebody that was valuable in God's eyes. And he told him that. And so he said the prayer. He got baptized. I met him 2 days, actually the day after he was baptized. Got baptized on the 28th of March, 3 years ago. I met him on the 29th. That was the time I got to talk to Dan Moeller one-on-one, and my whole world got further rocked. It was rocked seriously on the healing service 2 days prior, but my whole world got rocked. And met Todd number of times after that. I met him at the York, Jefferson Carnival, Jefferson Fair. And he was handing out tracts and, you know, preaching the gospel and stuff. And he was still doing crack cocaine at the time, though. Whoops. That's a little challenging. And it finally came down to it where he didn't have any money. He'd already maxed out his credit cards and done everything you could do and robbed everybody you could rob. You know, drug addiction. It's a demon. And he got to the end of his rope and he needed a fix. So he gets to this young guy from New York, a young pusher. And he gets there and he figures, I can outsmart him. So he tells the young pusher, he's a cop. It's the young pusher. He's already got the drugs. Gets out, puts his hand on the hood of the car, and Todd floors it and starts to try to get away. He pulls out a 9mm, empties it at 10 feet away. As soon as things got a little quiet, he heard the audible voice of God. He said, I took those bullets for you. When are you going to start living for me? He went to a place called Teen Challenge. It's a one-year program. It's not about a program. The only way you get through that is Jesus. It's about a relationship with God. And 2 months into it, Jesus showed up in his dreams 3 nights in a row. And he got radically changed. Right before that happened, he was out in the street, you know, a little bit of time right across the street from where this, you know, Teen Challenge was. And he decides that he's going to preach the gospel to this street dude. There's some street guy with, you know, all his earthly belongings in a shopping cart. So he goes over and he starts talking to this guy. And the guy says, do you believe what you're saying? And he goes, yeah. Well, then the guy decides to tell him the facts. Because this man was sent from God. And he was a missionary on the street. And he operated in words of knowledge. And he read Todd's email. He told him about his whole life and his future. And he prayed for him and imparted gifts of words of knowledge until he also had three nightly visitations after that with Jesus. God rocked his world. He got out of Teen Challenge 10 months early. They don't let you do that, but God told him it's time to go. When God tells you it's time to go, it's time to go. He got home 4 days later. He married Jackie, and they got on with a real Christian life. And he knew that what he was seeing in Dan and what he was seeing at healing services every Wednesday that I attended faithfully and a number of other people here did, if it works in the church, in the four walls of the church at a healing service, it's got to work on the street, because that's what Jesus did. He started getting in the Word, and Jesus gave him one scripture to live by. And then told him, you know, read the whole word. It was one scripture to live by, Matthew 6:33. And if there's ever an example of somebody living Matthew 6:33 and God backing it up, it's Todd. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Todd went to work, held down a few decent jobs, basically lost a few jobs because of his faith and because he wouldn't back down on things. He's like a pit bull. He'd be praying for everybody when he's out there. And he has seen so many miracles and healings on the street. He'll go to Walmart and a dozen people will get healed while he shops. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Just the facts. And it was about a year ago, this January 12th, that he went to a prophetic conference with Patricia King, and she prophesied over him the first day, and it was the last day there, and they had the video running, and she prophesied over him and said, it's a new breed, it's a new breed, and he got blasted. I've only been there once. I've been around Todd a ton. I've only seen him personally where I've been there once, where he was slain in spirit. He was just totally knocked out. He was blasted at this one. And Holy Spirit, in 3 minutes, took him out of his drug debt, because they buried him in cash. God can do things that just way outside our box. Amen. In the last year, they demolished his 50-year-old single-wide trailer with rat holes in it, and they have a brand new beautiful house out in Thomasville. and they'll probably be moving in sometime in the next few weeks. It's not about the gospel of prosperity. It's about the gospel of the kingdom and the price Jesus paid. And this boy sold out 100% to that. And God was faithful. Doesn't mean people don't go through stuff. I have a beloved brother in here who lost his job. God's going to open another door for him. There's another beloved brother in here where if there's a market that has ever been down in the last 50 years, his market's down right now. But it's getting back up, and it's going to happen. You know, so the bottom line is, you know, it's not about a gospel prosperity. It's about pick up your cross, follow me, deny yourself, and just get on with it. And that's what Todd did. And so now, there's such divine favor on his life, and he just loves people, that all of a sudden, he gets on this little video called God Squad. And it was meant as a teaser for a reality TV show. And it's about people just going out in the street and praying for people. Well, there's a bartender who's 50% blind eyes open in 5 minutes. And the guy's flipping out. You can tell the guy's not a believer. He's just kind of like humoring him first, and then he's really freaked out when his eye opens. Then we have stuff of him out west. And he's praying for this gentleman on the street who's a street person. He's got cataracts, can barely see. He's Indian. You can tell by his color. He's been an alcoholic. He's got some issues, and he's looking up and he's looking around. You can tell he just got healed. Just one thing after another. Well, those excerpts, if you go to that revival. Connection.com, you can click on the 700 Club thing with Todd, and you'll see what I just discussed there. There's a bunch of other things in there. There's an awesome testimony that's brand new. Just happened on, I think it's February 22nd of this year. A medical doctor neurologist was at a conference, Christian conference, with Bill Johnson and Randy Clark and stuff, and her beeper went off, and they needed her to come to the hospital so they could declare this person legally brain dead so they could harvest the organs. It was a 26-year-old woman with a benign brain tumor that she never should have had to die, and if they got her an hour earlier, she wouldn't have. But it basically, her brain herniated, and she's brain dead, period. So she gets this call, and she's really frustrated because she hears the background on it. She's like, and this Christian friend of hers, they just grabbed hands and they just prayed and lifted this girl up. They got there. When they arrived at the hospital, she's sitting up talking to family. Yay, Jesus! That's good. That's good. So that's just one of the awesome testimonies on there. There's one with a power and love, and you'll see a whole bunch of people that just got off the street. First time ever praying for people on the street, and they're giving their testimonies. It's just awesome. You'll see Melissa and Jessica on there, and just some neat stuff. There are brothers and they're sisters, those two, in Christ out there in West Virginia, Wheeling. But just God's just doing some awesome things. There's so many awesome testimonies today, but I just felt I had to share Todd's testimony, because today he's walking in miracle signs and wonders. He's seen pancreatic cancer ballots needed in the name of Jesus. The person was referred to him by Hershey Medical. That's on the testimony of Jesus, just a 1 minute phone testimony there. There's just some awesome stuff going on, and there's a quickening. This is happening more and more, and it's happening through little old me's. And Dan and Todd will be the first ones to tell you it's not about the mighty anointed man or woman of God. It's about empowering the church to step out and be the church, the bride of Christ. Who knows? Jesus is not coming back for a beat-up, snot-nosed, little wimpy bride. He's coming back for the bride that is walking like he walked, because that's what he told us to do. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Breathe on him, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Then another place tells him to stick around, and you'll know when it arrives. Well, that's the power part in Acts chapter 2. But just some awesome stuff. I wanted to share this thing briefly tonight. I'm going to do a handout pretty much by kind of like groups and areas, because I don't know how many we're going to have here, because there was just limited time to do it. We're not necessarily going to follow this verbatim, but you'll have an outline, you know, as we jump through it to kind of have an idea of what's behind this. There you go. Okay, that's share there. Here you go. I think we can let you share. Yeah, this basically.
I have a copy of the sheet.
Cool, that's wonderful. This happens to be in color for specific reasons. This just came about midnight last night till 2:30 a.m. There's sort of the key to it. You have one back there already? Cool. Okay, that's cool. Here you go. Send one over to the other end there. Yep, got that one there. Here you go.
The suit next to you. I'm just working.
Well, we have three left. Here we go. Okay, anybody else want one? Got one. Going once, going twice. Somebody else comes in. Sold. Okay. I'm going to share and touch on some of this because you have it all written here. The general key with this is if you see purple, it's either prophetic or type in shadow. Okay? So I never understood Genesis 22. Keep in mind, I was raised Lutheran, good old Lutheran boy. I love Jesus, you know? And I read some of this Old Testament stuff and I'm going, man, the God I know, he loves. I'm thinking, why would he ever ask this guy, 100 years old, finally got a son, to go sacrifice him? It never clicked. I didn't quite understand the type and shadow. I didn't understand exactly what was going on there, and I never read it from that perspective. But about 6 months into my deeper walk with the Lord, with a little help from Pastor Dan, he said about, he referenced Genesis 22, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's a tough one. And he goes, read it with the understanding that the region of Moriah is spoken of is Jerusalem, and Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. Well, I read it and wept. I went, whoa, wait a second. When you see certain things here, it's alluding to what took place on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday. You start looking. You go, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah, Jerusalem. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, Mount Calvary, that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, he saddled up his donkey. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Do you know why he didn't, why he chose, basically it was a colt, Volva donkey, okay? It was a little donkey. Does anyone know why he chose that as opposed to, say, a stallion? That's exactly right. If he came on a stallion, which he will, that's warrior. He's come to conquer. He's come to judge. That's later. That's in the sky. He came in peace to bring peace. And that's why he came humbly on a donkey. Well, they rode there humbly on a donkey. It's foreshadowing. Okay. He took two of his servants with him. I highlighted that. Imagine, Jesus was crucified between two others. Okay? Very interesting. On the third day, whoa. Okay, do you think there might be some foreshadowing here? I mean, Shakespeare, they say he could do it really well. A lot of modern day writers can do it. Holy Ghost can do it a whole lot better. Yeah, several thousand years prior, he had it all down. Okay, so stay here with your donkey. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. In the Amplified, it says on his shoulder. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. The two of them went on. Note, Isaac is walking up Mount Calvary with the wood for the sacrifice on his shoulders. Whew. This is powerful. Isaac spoke up and said, Father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Ooh. Abraham, not even knowing that he's speaking prophetically, says, God himself will provide a lamb. When they reached the place that God had told him, Mount Calvary, Abraham built there an offer and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Now, Abraham's ballpark, 100 plus, and Isaac somewhere between 12 and 25.
Right.
Do you think Isaac was a voluntary sacrifice?
Yes.
He absolutely was, just like Jesus was. Trust me, he could have outran dear old dad. He probably could have out-wrestled him without a problem. He was a willing sacrifice. We stretched forth his hand. We know the angel of the Lord called him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. And he stayed the execution because it was never to happen. He was testing and trying his heart. He wanted to make sure that he truly feared and revered the Lord. So he knew that he did not withhold his son, his only son. Boy, does that speak loudly. Abraham looked up in the thicket and saw a ram. Note, not a lamb. It was caught by its thickets. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it is said it will be provided. Yeah. What? The solution to our only big problem. We were separate from God because we chose other. In the third chapter of Genesis, we fell. We did the one thing he told us not to, and we lost it. And there was no way we could ever repay that. It was mortal trying to pay an immortal debt. We couldn't. We needed somebody that was truly divine, yet fully human at the same time, to pay that debt for us, live a sinless, guiltless life, and then to still die. That's the only thing Jesus never had to do because he never sinned, so he never had to die. Dan is taught that he could still be on that whipping post. They could still be whipping him. He still couldn't die. Not until he was hung on the cross and the sin of the world was put on him and it crushed him under the weight of the sin of the whole world. That's when he died. This is heavy stuff. The Lord spoke to him and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld from me your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And your seed," capital S-E-E-D, "your heir, will possess the gates of his enemies," gates of hell. "And through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." That calls the Gentiles in, which happened shortly after Jesus' resurrection. Some major things happened, and Paul went out there and really, you know, the Pharisees started getting all the Gentiles in. We can thank God for that. Because, quite frankly, I don't know anybody in here. Is there anybody here that has that's Messianic Jew or has a Jewish heritage? So we're all Gentiles. We're all born Gentile. Okay. How many people have ever celebrated a Seder or Passover in a Jewish way? Cool. How many people have done it in like a Messianic way where they've actually combined it and they teach it and so on? Yeah. I did one a few years ago. And this is the original Passover. I'm going to jump ahead here just for time's sake and go to around Exodus 13, around verse 16. "On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on that very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come." Note, 400 years of bondage to Egypt was about to end. At the Last Supper, our bondage to sin was about ready to end. Now, some people say, well, you know, why did he put that, you know, tree, you know, with the fruit of knowledge of good and evil in there? He knew we're going to mess up, and, you know, how come, and so on and so forth. It's real simple. If love isn't freely given, is it love? If you know, someone were to take my hand, let's call him God, and take it behind my back and twist it, do you love me? Is that love? No, it's coercion. has nothing to do with love. But when love is freely given, that's love. So he wanted freely given. He just wanted us to follow him, love him, obey him. And basically we got deceived and tricked out and we made some bad choices and things went downhill from there. But Jesus paid the price to get that back. And that's what this is about. Okay. Keep in mind that this Passover lamb had to be a spotless, without blemish lamb. Okay. It says, take a branch of hyssop. This is around 1222. Take a branch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. Note, the lamb was slain in the doorway. This was taught to me by a rabbi when we did the Messianic Passover. So they slit its throat there in the doorway, and they collect it in the basin. There's blood at the foot of the doorway now. Then they take it, and they paint it on all sides. It's completely covered. You must pass through blood. Okay? And the spirit of death would not pass through. Okay? It's all foreshadowing, because you look at Jesus, and there he is. The thorns, his hands, the nails in his feet, and his side was pierced, and water and blood came out in that case, washing us clean. It's just amazing. There's so much in here that we don't even get, and I don't even get. I just, it's like I said, this was done between midnight and 2:30 a.m. It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passes over the houses of Israel in Egypt and spares our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Now, what I did is I jumped ahead to Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, because that is one of the most incredible, stark prophecies of Jesus and what he came to do and what was going to happen to him. Now, keep in mind that this prophecy was written 700 to 800 years before Jesus walked the earth, and it's spot on. I mean, it doesn't get more detailed than this. Isaiah 52, verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up, highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, at his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. So he is marred more than any man, beyond human likeness. How many people here have never seen the movie The Passion of the Christ? Never seen it. Okay? You've never seen it. I will loan it to you. I have an extra copy. I highly recommend watching that on Good Friday. No better time between 12 and 3. Just a good thing to do. Okay. He was marred more than any man beyond humankind. So he will sprinkle many nations and kings and will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that would desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced, his hands, his feet, his sides, his brow. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed and bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's powerful. He didn't just bleed and die on a cross for us. He was marred more than any man. He was whipped beyond recognition. It's those stripes that he bore that actually paid the price in full for our healings. That's why we can pray in Jesus' name here and see cancer bow its knee in California. It's happened just in the past couple weeks. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Remember before Pilate? Pilate said, I have, you know, the authority to do this. And he's like, you know, he didn't even try to defend himself. He basically said, any authority you have comes from my Father, comes from God. I have my own theory. When he comes back, Pilate's going to have a first row seat. That's my theory. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. Boy, does that speak to our value in God's sight? If he would do that, allow the adversary to cause that and do that, it pleased Heavenly Father that that occurred. Why? Because we have great value in his sight. Todd, a train wreck of a life, now going and crushing the works of the devil, praying for people and seeing tumors disappear, seeing blind eyes open, seeing deaf ears open, seeing backs and knees, countless backs, knees, and necks healed. I mean, dozens every day. When he's out, God's moving. It's that simple. By the way, he's up in the Poconos doing some R&R. Can't wait to hear some stories. He literally got kicked out of the resort last year. You go.
What did
you do? He's just praying for a whole bunch of people, and then the owner, you know, calls me, and he's like, he starts reading his email, and the owner's like an atheist. Well, he's like, he's multimillionaire, and he's just in a different realm. Although, there's a multimillionaire in Florida that Todd's visited and prayed for. The guy just loves Jesus. He prayed for 40 people the other day. Multimillionaire, lives in a 14,000 square foot house. Prayed for 40 people the other day. Yeah, that is the eye of the needle. Rich men can get in that way. That's a good word. Anyway, after the suffering of his soul, I'm going to go back up because it did cause, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, that's because of us, he was to see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many. That's all who believe in his name. And he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That spells it out. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus did. That was foretold 800 years prior. Okay. The Last Supper. Many of you are pretty familiar with this version. This first one is from Luke, and it's just straightforward. We're going to do probably a little more celebrating tonight, just actually using the words from Corinthians, which is Paul's writings there, because Jesus appeared to him in a vision, explained it to him, and showed him, you know, how to do it in remembrance of him. Let's go a little bit further on to the last page there. It says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, I put a little note in here, and then I jump ahead to Revelations. It was just something the Lord wanted me to do. Note, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he rode in on a colt of a donkey, thus showing that he came in peace. When he returns, he will be riding on a stallion, and he will bring judgment. The next time, it's not all fun and games. Okay, he's already paid the price. And there will be a separation between the lost and the saved at that point. The word saved in the Greek is sozoed. It means so much more than just go to heaven. It means saved, healed, delivered, redeemed, and restored. Bought back, brought back to original value. Made whole, kept safe and sound, and do well. That's what Jesus paid the price for. to Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linens, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes back, it's going to be serious. Then going back to the Lord's Supper. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. You know, if you're holding something against a brother, if you're in unforgiveness, you're in sin, just don't take the communion. It's really simple. It's no shame in that. But you just want to make sure that you have peace with God before doing that. But the next part I have underlined. For anyone who eats and drinks the blood without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. That means in death. Not discerning the body. A lot of people understand, a lot of churches, I'm not getting denominational right now, it's just an understanding, which I had for 46 years, okay, that the blood was shed for our forgiveness of sins. That's absolutely correct, but it's still only half the truth. His body was broken, he was marred more than any man. It's by those stripes that we're healed and made whole, and we need to appropriate that by faith. We need to understand the body. That's what it's saying. We need to perceive what he accomplished by being marred more than any man. He accomplished that so we can be healed. It's not just forgiveness of sins, it's the entire package. Remember when there was a paralytic man and his friends couldn't get him in the house because it was like wall-to-wall people? Been there once or twice. Praise God they didn't rip off a roof. But they ripped off the roof and they lowered this man down through the ceiling. He was on a mat. He was paralyzed. What does he say to the man? He says, take heart, man. Your sins are forgiven. His four buddies that lowered him through the roof are thinking, great, we just wanted you to heal him. Right? And the Pharisees and Sadducees, what are they saying? Blasphemy. Who has power to forgive sins but God himself? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and trumps them every time, goes, why do you think such things? And then he says, so you will know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. Take up your mat and walk. And he did. It's a twofold covenant. Body broken, blood shed. Body broken, stripes bore, healing. Blood shed, forgiveness of sins. It's twofold. It's the whole package. Don't sell yourself short. Go for the full package. It really does. One quick story, a Pastor Dan one that I always loved, and it talks about getting what Jesus paid for. Some years ago, his kids are pretty well grown. I think his youngest is like 18 or 19 now, and his daughter's in her 20s. Matter of fact, he's a granddaughter that's 3. So when his kids were like young teens, maybe like 10, 12, 15 in there, he and his beloved wife, Kimmy, came back from church service, and she goes to make him some brunch. And she's doing something where she's boiling some boiling hot grease. I don't know if she's doing fries. She's doing whatever. And she spills the boiling hot grease on her hand. And she literally, with boiling hot grease, fries about this much of her arm, like here up. She's screaming and hollering. And I know from a naturopathic standpoint what I would think to do. Because my son spilled boiling hot cocoa on his leg one time. And you have to think quick, and we did all the right stuff. He still had a little blister there, but he's doing okay. You know, never scarred. But today, there's a different reality that trumps even the best homeopathy. And of course, that's what Dan went for. He starts praying. And he's praying every best prayer, and he's speaking to that mountain, and he's rah, rah, rah. And guess what? Kimmy's hand's still red and blistering, and she's still in pain. And so finally, he's like noticing that, I mean, he's seen tons of miracles at this point, but he's noticing that nothing seems to be happening right now. And so he gets quiet. He's like, Lord, Holy Spirit says, Dan, you know, you're really zealous right now, and you're speaking everything at it that you know, but you're forgetting the reason why you can even pray for her. And he knew that was because of God's love for Kimmy. And so he just starts thanking God for his love for Kimmy. And all of a sudden, all the pain leaves. 100% gone. No pain. And she's just blown away. And the kids are noticing mom's not screaming and crying. She's saying, all the pain's gone. All the pain's gone. So he just starts praising and thanking Jesus. And Holy Spirit gives him a little nudge and says, it pleases Heavenly Father when you go for the finished work. He's like, wow. He gets it. She's still fried. She's no pain, pain free. But she's got red blisters. It's like, it's going to be ugly. So he just starts thanking him for the finished work. Well, all of a sudden, she starts screaming and crying again. Well, he's just got his eyes closed. He's just with God. He's, ah. And he opens his eyes, and his kids' jaws are like this. They're just dropped, and they're bug-eyed looking. And she's just whimpering and weeping because her hand is restored back to original created value. Done. It pleases Heavenly Father when we go for the finished work. It pleases God when we get what His Son paid so dearly for. Go for the finished work. If you were buying your child a car, and you just won a really great deal on a brand new car, you got the 10-year wraparound warranty, it's just awesome. And you invite your son and daughter-in-law over, you know, and tell them, hey, something's waiting for you at Apple Subaru. Just go pick it up at 2 o'clock. So they have lunch with you, babysit the kid. You send them off and they get there, and there's a paperwork snafu. And by accident, you get a 3-year-old car with 50,000 miles on it with a 3-year wraparound. The kid's going to be thrilled. They got themselves a new car when they get it home. Mom and dad going to be happy? Why not? Didn't get what you paid for. It pleases Heavenly Father when we get what was paid for. His Son paid a serious price. Go for the finished work. Okay. I just want to thank you guys for coming out. We're going to celebrate communion for anyone that wants it. We're just, I think they have some stuff out here. I'm not sure the exact logistics. Are we going to go? Okay. We have grape juice, not wine, for those that have any concerns. And we have unleavened bread. It looks like Kathy's kind of bringing it this way. We got to be careful not to spill anything in here because this really isn't meant for food up here. But this isn't food. This is way beyond food. So we just want to celebrate that. If everyone would take it and just kind of hold it, whoever you know wants to celebrate this, and there's no offense if somebody doesn't want to do it, or you just don't feel comfortable, it's okay. But whoever wants it, take the bread, take the cup, and we'll just all do it together and celebrate it together. And then anyone who wants prayer, we're going to go right after this into, we'll ask you in a few minutes. Anybody that needs prayer, you stand up, raise your hand where you're at. Body of believing believers will surround you, will pray for you, and expect a miracle because God is good.
Share her.
He's coming back. We got more right there. It's okay. We need one here, one here. We're getting there. Here, I think. Yes, please. Does everybody that wants this have this in hand? There you go. Everybody have everything? Okay. Good. She's coming up. Good. Okay. Basically, we're pretty much going to do this together. I mean, if you know, this is just between you and God and so on. But on the night in which our Lord Jesus, night before he was betrayed, as he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given and broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he poured it, saying, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." As long as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and passion until he comes again. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. Amen. There are some people that take communion every day of their lives. Mm-hmm. Smith Wigglesworth did. And he had, I think it was close to 24 people bodily raised from the dead before he went home to be with Jesus. There's power in the blood. It's good. So, okay. While we're collecting these... How many people came out this evening that actually came out wanting prayer and so on and so forth? See, tips. Yes?
Pastor Jack Ashton, North Christian Fellowship. My son just told me he has a month. They gave him a month to live.
Let's stand together on that.
Prayer is one of those times when you intercede for him.
Yep.
The mighty man of God.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
I think we need to pray.
Yep. Let's lift him up corporately right now. Okay? Now, we can start. You know what? Come on up, Tom. Tom, come on up front for a minute. What we're going to do, it's on Tom's heart, and I'm going to let Tom just start out praying. If I hear something, I may add to it. But then at that point, let's just all just lift them up together. Okay?
Amen.
And we're just going to lift Jack up. He's a man, I think he's in his 40s, would I say? Maybe
so.
Early 50s? Okay. He's in his early 50s. Former engineer, I believe.
Architect.
Architect that became a pastor. His mother and father actually founded the church where he's at, and that's the church where I met Pastor Dan Richland. And he's a mighty man of God. I know some of the stories when he was over in Burma, man, did they see some miracles? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a mighty man of God. And he's been under an attack from the adversary. He's had a brain tumor for several years. I mean, they thought it was going to take him out years ago. And he's just, there's a struggle going on right now. But God is bigger than that. He can totally restore him.
Amen.
He can sozo Jack to the uttermost. So we just want to stand in faith.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, Father, sitting at the right hand of God. We intercede for our brother, Pastor Jack Cashman, Father. Father, I don't believe he's got a month to live. I think you will satisfy him with long life.
Yes, Lord.
Father. Father, and we command all the principalities and the powers and the demons of hell that would come against him. We have a mighty God that we serve, and there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we use that power right now. We are in agreement right now. We beseech you right now, Father. We command all the powers of evil to depart from our brother Jack. We command healing to come to him, to his mind, to his body, to his soul, to his sight. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Father, to heal our brother Jack now.
Yes, Lord.
Father, give him long life and restoration. Father, that your name will be glorified.
Yes, Lord.
And that your will be done for him, for us, for your body, Father. Father, remember the works of our brother and the works of Jesus, how by his stripes we have been healed, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We beseech you now to grant our request.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just like
Jesus.
You sent angels to minister to Jesus when he came out of the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil. You sent angels to minister to him, and he had as much Holy Ghost as anyone in the history of the world. Lord, we just thank you. We ask you to send warrior angels to fight this battle in the heavenlies. Just open up the floodgates of heaven to just pour down on our brother. Lord, we just thank you for Jack Cashman, Lord. We thank you for these warrior angels fighting the battle in the heavenlies. Thank you for sending guardian angels to protect him and holy healing angels to minister to him. We thank you for rewiring his neuro net, Lord. We thank you for full restoration of every brain cell. Anything the adversary stole, come against that in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, for restoring his sight. Blessed are his eyes, for they see, his ears, for they hear. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that with long life you will sustain Jack Cashman. Pastor Jack, Lord, we just lift them up before you. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Lord, release the shalom of heaven into that family. Give them peace. Peace beyond understanding, Lord. And sozo him to the uttermost. Save him to the uttermost. We thank you, Lord. We break that curse of cancer. Break that curse of witchcraft going against him, Lord. We just thank you for long life. Long, healthy life in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Who here tonight is... actually came and wants prayer specifically, you know, for themselves or for a loved one that might not be here or whatever. Okay? Love to pray with you. Come on up. Got a buddy over here. We're going to tag team. So, your name's Dusty, right?
Dusty.
Dr. John, this is my buddy Mike over here. I want to hook you up with him, and anybody else wants to come up and pray with him, I just want these guys to get together here. Okay, anyone else specifically want prayer? Yep.
We have a friend, Donna Fidler.
Mm-hmm.
She's been deaf for 10 years.
Okay.
For myself. Fighting cancer. And I didn't know. I brought a handkerchief. I didn't know Paul laid hands on a handkerchief.
I never had.
And I wonder if we can do that.
Absolutely.
As well as pray over.
Great. Not a problem. Who here is familiar with prayer cloths and their use and so on? Anybody? Ever use prayer cloth? You guys are familiar with that. Why don't you bring it up here? It's actually your time. And get a group praying specifically over that. Okay? That will be good. I'll gladly pray with it. Is there anyone else here that came specifically for prayer tonight? Okay, well, but you need prayer. Anybody needs prayer.
I have a sister-in-law that
Okay. Let's pray. Who's got faith against cancer at a distance? Anybody want to pray against cancer? I hate cancer. Love seeing it stop. Come on over. I'm going to pray with this young lady right here. Anyone else need prayer? And by the way, any believing believer, just join in, you know, wherever. And if somebody has a little ache, pain, you know, a little arthritis, whatever, just, you know, see if there's somebody you can pray for. And what's your sister's name?
Treva.
Okay, that's a unique name. I don't know any Treva.
Lord, we just thank you.
That's awesome. Lord, we just thank you for Treva. We just thank you that there's no cancer in heaven. And you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth, same as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we just thank you. Your cancer must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. It must bow out. Treva, be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, washed white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. He remembers your sins no more. Your sins are forgiven and you're healed. It's your twofold covenant, the body broken and the blood shed. We're just ever so grateful, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Treva healed, totally restored, so to the uttermost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for peace.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Physical attacks, Father God, of the enemy, be placed upon his body, Father God. I just thank you. I call him Lord Boy. Thank you, Lord. Complete restoration of his body, well, Father, and his soul, Father.
Yes.
I just thank you, God.
Jesus' name.